Everyone, welcome to Able Chat Disability Radio Podcast, and I'm your host Sandy B from Creating Links, and I'm thrilled to have you with us today. Now here in Able Chat, we dive deep into a world of disabilities. We explore the many facets and challenges that come with them. Disabilities can affect anyone at any stage of life, and their impact is felt not only just by the individuals, but also by their family, friends, and the broader community. Now, disabilities come in many forms, as you know, physical, intellectual, sensory, and invisible. So understanding these differences is crucial to fostering a more inclusive and supportive community. So today's episode is packed with valuable content, and we have a fantastic lineup of guests, including experts from leading disability services who'll provide practical advice and resources. We'll also be chatting with individuals living with disabilities who will share their unique perspectives and triumphs. So grab a coffee, come on, settle in and get ready to engage in our lightning hour. And remember, here at Able Chat Disability Radio Podcast, we believe that every conversation brings us one step closer to understanding and inclusivity. So I'm Sandy B, and you're listening to Able Chat Disability Radio Podcast, where every voice matters. Now let's get started.
This is Able Chat. Where we discuss news, topics and services in your local community regarding disabilities and the NDIS.
Able Chat is about disability. Able Chat is about health. Able Chat is about your community.
Well, each and every week, well, we do have a special guest on. And, well, today's episode is packed with some content. Now, obviously, without you, the show doesn't happen. So we love chatting with people from all across our lineup of guests, of course, right across Australia. And it's not just about the information. It's about building a community where we support one another and share our experiences. So we want to hear from you, our listeners, your stories, questions, and insights of what makes this show truly special. And you can join us at ablechat.com.au, or you can also Facebook/AbleChat Radio. I think it is. Oh my gosh, terrible. I'm going to introduce Carly Campbell McLean, who was joining me on the show for Muscular Dystrophy New South Wales. What a fantastic chat it was, too. So here we go. Of course, tonight we're talking about muscular dystrophy. And muscular dystrophy is something I have so little knowledge of besides the word, and just why I brought on a specialist, ladies and gentlemen, let me say, the lovely Carolyn Campbell McLean. She's from the Senior Community Support Specialist, Muscular Dystrophy, New South Wales. I didn't think I'd get all those words out. Are you there?
Hello, Sandy. How are you tonight?
I'm good. I'm glad to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
You're going to help me learn a whole lot tonight because, look, I try not to play dumb, but I am playing dumb tonight because couple of weeks ago, we did have a specialist on that was all about multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. And I, for some reason in my head, sort of had these two little things connected because I have had clients that I've looked after myself with multiple sclerosis, but I've also had muscular dystrophy. And mm-hmm. I know that sort of sits on the fringe of all those specialty little disabilities. Mm. Maybe you can help me out, Caroline. Give me a good iron and sort me out. What do you think you can do?
Thanks, Sandy. A lot of people do get the term confused, and, you know, it's very reasonable that a lot of people don't know about it unless you, I guess, come into contact with it in your family or, you know, yourself having a diagnosis. So, yeah, I can tell you a little bit about muscular dystrophy. It's really an umbrella term that refers to about 75 different types of what we call neuromuscular conditions. So neuromuscular conditions is different to MS, and it's different to motor neurone disease and other kinds of physical disabilities. So the neuromuscular conditions are really different rare conditions that are either conditions that are affecting the muscles or affecting the nerves.
Right.
So, and they're usually, but not always, but usually genetically acquired. So someone in their family might, you know, when you have a baby, there's a chance that you can pass on a gene.
Right.
So it might, depending on the type of condition, as I said, there's over 70 different types of conditions. You know, it can depend on how that gets passed on. Some of them are recessive genes. Some of them are dominant X-linked genes. So it all depends on the different condition.
So it is a whole, it's a whole supermarket of genes is what you're trying to tell
me. Yeah, look, you take a lottery ticket when you have a baby, and, you know, people can have genetic disposition for all different types of things, not
of
just
course.
The physical things, but also, you know, your genetic makeup. And one of the things that people can have is, you know, can be diagnosed either at birth or later in life. We have people with neuromuscular conditions diagnosed at all stages of the life cycle.
Right.
So some people are diagnosed in their childhood, like myself. I myself live with spinal muscular atrophy. So some people might have heard SMA. It's been in the news, you know, in the last few years, because SMA is one of the first neuromuscular conditions to actually have a treatment now.
Oh.
So we're very fortunate to be able to have some medicine and some treatments to help people like myself with SMA. So that's really, really wonderful that the medical people, that the scientists can look at and study these conditions and can actually work, you know, for many, many years. I think it was over 20 years in the pipeline to get the treatment that I now myself am taking every day. And that's helping me with my muscles and getting a little bit stronger, or at least keeping me as strong as I am and not progressing. Because one of the other things, Sandy, is with neuromuscular conditions is that they're almost always progressive. So people will get weaker in their strength and their function. And so most people, unfortunately, will lose mobility, or they will, you know, lose the ability to breathe on their own, or to be able to move and walk, for example, depending on the exact type of condition. So
does it speed up as you get older? Is that sort of part of the deal, a little bit? Or
not necessarily. Some of the conditions are more rapidly progressive, and other conditions are very sort of slowly progressive.
Mm.
So, I'm 49 myself, and I'm, I've been stable for a very long time. I've always been a wheelchair user myself.
Right.
And, about 3 years ago, I went on to nighttime ventilation. So I have a BiPAP machine. A lot of your listeners would know about the CPAP machine.
Yeah, especially for the snorers out there.
Yeah, that's right. So anyone with muscle weakness might have problems breathing. And I guess respiratory issues affect people with neuromuscular or muscular dystrophy a lot as well. So I guess when COVID was around, it was very scary for a lot of people.
Terrifying.
You know, because, you know, if you can't cough and breathe as easily as other people, then when you get a respiratory infection or what have you, you know, that's very stressful and difficult. So
it must have been a horrific time for you during that period.
Very scary.
You know, because you're frightened if you, there was so much press out there of what was going to happen to you if you got it. So that was at the early stages. We all thought we were about to die, let's face
it. Well, it was very unknown, wasn't it, in the beginning?
Yeah.
And also I think I also have am relying on support workers coming into my home 3 times a day. So,
yeah.
You know, when you have to lock down and not have people coming in your home, except you can't,
yeah.
you know.
What do you
can't
do?
Actually, you know, go to the loo or get into bed or get out of bed without these people. So,
yeah.
you know, we were very, I guess we had to create plans and you know, organise ourselves with PPE and make sure that people were COVID testing and, yeah. you know, all that sort of stuff.
And trying to get hold of PPE as well.
Yeah.
You know,
it
like.
It was hard, yeah.
Remember the I was just thinking that today. Now, this is a funny story. Well, it's not really. It's a disgusting story. But I was sitting on the loo today. And I thought to myself, you know, it was only a few years ago we were all trying to kill each other just to get like a slice
toilet
of
paper.
Toilet paper.
I know, it's awesome. I mean, crazy, really.
We've just forgotten about it.
I know.
You know.
And the sad thing is that COVID is still around, you know, and people who are, you know, more vulnerable and more unwell are people who are going to struggle with it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It's important to still, you know, keep hygienic and make sure that we're staying home if we're sick and things like that. So that's really important. But,
so
yeah,
for
but anyway,
yourself, I mean, you're a businesswoman, you know, you're all working and you're doing it a whole lot. So how long have you had muscular dystrophy for? Was you born with it? Is that the way? I'm sure it's not everyone that is born with it. What's the first stage?
It's generally not something that you know straight away
right.
when you're born. It's usually something that, you know, if it's a child diagnosis, some of the conditions like SMA and Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is one of the more severe and common dystrophies.
So what are they sort of bounced? Yeah. Like,
they're usually diagnosed in their you know, like 3 to 4 or 5 years, 6 years
right.
old. When you're developing all those milestones, you know, like running and walking and climbing and jumping and, you know, all those things. And if people are struggling, you know, kids are struggling with that. Sometimes the kids, you know, their parents notice, well, that's not quite right, or he's struggling and falling over or things like that. So a lot of time people, it does take a long time to get a diagnosis.
Mm.
So a lot of people might go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, he'll be right. It's just, you know, this or that, or, you know, come back in 6 months or that sort of thing. And, you know, usually parents are pretty attuned to knowing what is the usual milestone and what isn't and things. So people can struggle to get diagnosis. And also now I guess there's a lot more DNA testing than there ever was back when I was a child. So it took, you know, I had a wrong diagnosis when I was little.
Really?
Because, yeah, the doctors thought I had cerebral palsy, which is another type of physical disability.
Yeah.
yeah.
So we had CP on a few weeks ago, funny enough, and the Alliance group, you know, CP Alliance. And, they were talking about very similar, but that you do get quite often notice some, and I know yours is a lot more broad than just CP, but they do say that, like, when you're quite young, that's when you mostly pick it up.
There's something not right there. With neuromuscular conditions, it's a little bit different to CP because people can be diagnosed later in life.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of participants in our programs that have really only been diagnosed in the last few years, and they might be in their 40s, 50s, 60s,
amazing.
Or what have you. Yeah, so unfortunately, because there are so many genetic conditions, they can sometimes have a later onset.
Mm.
So people can sometimes really struggle with the fact that they've led a really active sort of usual life, and then they might get a diagnosis where, you know, they've had problems with certain things for a few years and they might have thought, oh, I'm just tired or I'm got some injuries or something like
that. Just run down or I just, that's an old accident. An old accident.
And then lo and behold, they end up at a neurologist and they get a diagnosis of a neuromuscular condition. And that's a really huge impact, I guess, both physically but also psychologically for them as well.
Of course.
To acquire a disability later in life.
Because once you get that cloud over your head, once you hear it doesn't matter what letter in the alphabet it is that the doctor gives you, you automatically then jump on board. And of course,
your worst case scenario, isn't it?
Of course.
That you come up with.
You start unwinding, don't you? So then you're going like, well, how long am I going to live? How long am I going to be able to walk?
Well,
you know?
And how long is this going to affect me? And are my children affected? And,
you
know, how is my wife going to cope or my husband or what have you?
Of course.
Yeah, there's a lot of ramifications for people. I think in New South Wales we have around about 13,000 people with a neuromuscular condition and 44,000 across Australia, which, you know, is obviously hard to pinpoint exactly. But
that's a lot of numbers.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I guess that's where Muscular Dystrophy New South Wales comes in, where we've been around for, you know, about 60 years now, and we're really dedicated to just supporting the people living with neuromuscular conditions and their families through every kind of life stage. So whether that's, you know, at initial diagnosis or whether it's a little bit later on when people are willing to accept, you know, it does take some people, you know, a long time to accept it, that they might need some support. And, you know, this is where we come in with the programs that we run. So, anyway, I'd love to talk about those programs whenever you want to.
Well, look, I love the fact. Now, the Peer Connect program is something that you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where someone are these like design are they short programs to get you started or are they programs for any stage that you're diagnosed?
It's really important, Sandy. We want just everyone out there to hear that there's something for everyone. We try to offer a lot of different things for different people because, as I was saying, some people are sort of at the point where they're really ready to embrace meeting other people with a similar condition or hearing about how other people manage things. And that's where Peer Connect comes in. So we set up a lot of different educational and social groups, whether they're online or face-to-face.
Yeah.
And we have different things where people can come together, talk about a certain topic, or it might be a specific condition that people come together. Like tomorrow we're running a group for people with myotonic muscular dystrophy, which is a certain type. And then we have an online group for an hour and a half and everyone joins on Zoom.
Yeah.
We have a chat and a conversation. We check in with everyone, see how they're all going. And they share some amazing stories about their lives. And also it's quite motivating and supportive for people to hear that, you know, they're not the only ones out there that are dealing with these situations, and really it's lovely for building community, you know, for people to know there's other people out there and they're not alone.
So the way I always compare these, it's a little bit like a mother's group. You know, you drop your kid off, you know, not being sexist, you know, it could be a mum's and dad's group, but, you know, when I say mother's group, everyone relates to it.
A parent group.
Oh, that's a word, isn't it? Parent word.
That's the word.
It's about, you know, everyone comes together with their kids and then they talk about what's happening in their week and how it's affecting them. And someone says, oh, he's got a cough. Oh, well, I'll tell you what I did or I'll tell you who I saw. And so these peer groups are very much like that in that sense that so they're almost you're sorting them almost into the style of disability that you have. Is it the style of condition in a way?
Yeah, but we also have topics. So we have a group called Mum's Wine and Chat, and they just jump on. They
I'd
have
be no
wine,
good in that.
Chat.
I'd be too drunk to finish it.
And that's really good using Zoom as well because people can come from all over New South Wales and they can just sit in the comfort of their lounge room or their, you know, their office or whatever and talk together with people who are across New South Wales. So,
especially if they didn't feel comfortable about talking about what's happening, you know, they don't want to make, I don't want to make Mum really angry, you know, that I'm talking about my circumstance.
Oh, look, that's a really good point, Sandy. You know, a lot of people come to us and say, look, I didn't want to burden my family with these problems. I didn't want to talk to my friends about it.
Yeah.
You know, I really love connecting with people who really get it.
Yeah.
And really, you know, you don't have to explain things sometimes. You just are able to connect with people who really get you and really understand what it's like. And that's really powerful. It's like any connection, isn't it? You have a connection in your cultural group or your religious group.
That's
the people who love Taylor Swift or the, you know, whatever it is that brings people together. And it's very powerful to see people when they realise that they're surrounded by people who actually understand what's going on for them or can offer ideas and suggestions, you know?
Well, for instance, now you've had your disability since you're young. So, I mean, you've got so much experience. You can turn around and go, yeah, look, I've had that. That's happened to me. And this is what
this
I did.
This is what I thought.
You know, especially when you've got supports coming in and out all the time, you know, it makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah. Oh, look, it does. And like, I love facilitating conversations where I know that, you know, Johnny is having, he's getting a new accessible vehicle. Mm. And then, you know, Karen comes along and says, oh, I really would love to get an accessible vehicle, but I have no idea how to go about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what, you should talk to Johnny about that because he just got a new vehicle.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, that's the name of our program, Peer Connect. You know, we're connecting people. And it's lovely to see when that happens because it can be really, really impactful for them. Yeah. So we also have camps and retreats. We're actually running a retreat up in Newcastle in a couple of weeks. Sandy, we have weekend retreats for different groups. So, for example, we had a mum's retreat in 2 weeks at Newcastle. It's going to be adults with different neuromuscular conditions coming together, and they're bringing either their partner or their support worker. And we have a weekend up there, have a lovely time, you know.
And are they, with accommodation, everyone stays together?
Yep.
Is that
how it
works?
Yeah, we all stay up there at the ridges. And,
the ridges. Like, you're not exactly doing it poor.
It's very accessible, so we can only go to places that are accessible.
Of course.
There. So
that are wheelchair friendly.
And it's one of the only hotels that has 7 accessible rooms.
Really?
So one of the challenges is sometimes you go to a hotel and they've only got 2 accessible rooms.
Yeah.
So you can only have, like, that's for only 2, you know, I need one and then someone else needs one and then can't have any more else.
That's right. There's all your guests gone.
We've got to find accessible venues that can have a lot of us in chairs because, Newcastle have 10 or 11 of us in wheelchairs. So we'll be taking over the Newcastle area.
The castle need the business, so it's a good thing. And but what it also does is it puts conversation out there about, you know, the need for these facilities for wheelchair accessible, you know, accommodation and for, them to build lifts,
wheeling around in the community, like making sure the footpaths are accessible, is the shop accessible? Can we get into the restaurant or, you know, is the bar down the flight of stairs?
That's right.
There's a lot of...
restaurants do you go to where the toilets are upstairs?
And if they're not upstairs, they're full of toilet paper and all the rest of it.
Yeah, so, supplies, cleaning supplies.
Yeah, exactly, and you can't even use it.
No.
So, but look, things are really getting better for access, but there's still a lot to do. And I guess a lot of people say to me, I'll say to them, is that place accessible? And they'll go, I didn't take any notice.
We use
about it.
Normal toilets, I suppose. We don't use like an accessible toilet unless we're,
that's right. Even remember if there were stairs or not because I guess people use stairs without really even realising they're using stairs. So, but anyway, we have a great time. And then, in June, we've got our biggest fundraising event coming up. That's for muscular dystrophy. So it's going to be this year we're going to be supporting our Peer Connect program. So our government funding is running out at the end of June. So
that's
a problem. So we're trying to have a big red roll and stroll right around Parramatta Park.
Stroll.
Yes, we're going to roll and stroll. You can get on your scooter, you can get on your bike, your wheelchair, anything you like. And we'll roll and stroll around Parramatta Park on the 23rd of June.
I like that. If people want to get involved in the roll and stroll, is there a website for them to go to register for the roll and stroll?
Definitely. I've got the MD New South Wales website. That's probably the best place
to go.
So it's mdnsw.org.au.
Yep.
And people can email us as well. So our email address is info@mdnsw.org.au. We can give you links to put on your website or anything you like, Sandy, that we can get more people involved because it's not only about the fundraising, it's really about bringing the community together, having a fun time, and also getting out there and showing people that it doesn't matter if you have a physical disability or muscular dystrophy, you can get around and, have access and fun and, get involved in life and learn to, connect with your other peers as well in your community, because we have so many people that are sort of isolated and feel like they're not really involved in things and they can't access things. But if they come together in our communities, we have some amazing things happen and, it's really nice when you see people getting involved and, I guess, learning to live their life.
I agree. Look,
it might be a different way, but it might be, you know.
It's a damn big blow when you find out that you've got something, you know. And muscular dystrophy, as you say, is so wide in so many levels, of so many ages. It affects so many people across Australia that it is time that we do have these conversations about these, you know, the services like you provide that really do get people together and have that conversation. And I think the big red roll and stroll, so I just looked it up on the website. I didn't even, I probably saw it last week, but I just didn't even take a lot of notice until you bring it up to my attention. And I think it's a great idea to get people out and about, get families. You know, if you've got a friend or a family member or you just want to support something amazing, you should get yourself registered for the big red roll and stroll.
Oh, we'd love that.
You know, and
we'd really love that.
Just go to the ndnews.org.au. It's all there. It's right there in front of me. Yeah. I can see it now.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, no, and it's really good. And all the kids come along and, you know, we do, like, lots of, you know, flags and colours.
You know, all the
rah-rah cheerleading and everything. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it takes you ages to go around the park. It doesn't matter if, you know, some of the kids in their wheelchairs, they race each other and, you know, it's lots of fun.
It's a nice way to get. Now, do you also, like, do you set up a bit of a camp there with sausage sizzles and all that type of stuff
absolutely.
As well?
Yeah, I think we've got the Winston Hills Lions Club doing our barbecue.
Cool.
We've got a little event village with lots of information. They'll have information on power chair football because a lot of our kids play power chair football
Oh my god, I don't even know.
It's amazing.
That.
Look it up on YouTube. It's so cool.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up.
Power chair football is really cool. They had the World Cup in Sydney Olympic Park last year in October.
Right.
And they had all countries from around the world come along and it's just incredible. It's such a good game.
Wow.
Yeah, really, really
I'm
good.
Looking
and
that
we
up.
Also have we also have our young boccia players that are going to Paris for the Paralympics. So boccia, I don't know if anyone's heard of boccia, but it's a very accessible game for people, particularly people who have very limited hand function.
Like,
they can still
like lawn bowls, but only middle ones, and you chuck them instead of roll
it's
them,
like
basically, isn't
have,
it?
Yeah, they have certain balls, and it's played on an indoor, in a basketball court. But, very similar to lawn bowls. In a way, because you have a jack and then people roll the ball and try and get closer to the jack. But it's a fantastic game. So, you know, there's so many things people can get involved with. And, you know, I think once people are ready to see what's out there, they can connect with us and we can connect them with lots of different services and supports and get involved in community.
I agree. I think it's a wonderful thing, you know, to definitely bring people together. And and I've said this quite a few times, you know, if you've got a young one, and I say this specifically for the young mums that listen in, I do have a lot of them right across the country that listen in and send me emails each week, is that, you know, like if you've got a young one, when you take them to play group or you take them to childcare, always make sure that you have a copy of what their goals of their program are, and you can always ask them to give you feedback on anything they've noticed during play. Because a lot of mums will go away and then they will talk to other mums and then they won't be concentrating, you know, because they've got people there looking after their kids to a certain degree. And this is a great way of noticing early, getting in early intervention. So if you notice something doesn't quite add up or they're saying my bones are sore, my knees are sore, this is a great way of, you know, getting that first step in their testing. But as we said, it doesn't necessarily mean you need to be young to get it. You can get it at any age. And I think really your first step is your doctor for this particular thing.
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah, you need to go through a GP and then get a referral to a neurologist to see if there's a neuromuscular condition because they're the ones who can diagnose those things. But, yeah, Wendy, just picking up on that point about camps, about kids, we have a camp that we run two camps every year. We run the summer camp usually. Yep. Usually it's in December, but I think this year it's around September time, spring camp. And that's over at Narrabeen, and that's for kids who use power chairs. So, we have about 30 or 40 kids in power chairs zooming around and doing all sorts of...
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really fun. They meet kids that are like them, because often, you know, with integration now, you know, it's really awesome that kids are in their local schools, but they often don't get to meet anyone else with the same condition that they have.
It's about knowing the challenges, isn't it? And then it's about having that conversation and say, well, you know, my normal life is my mum helps me get out of the chair. She gets me in the shower. What do you like in the shower? Oh, this is what I do. Now, how does mum do this for you? Or like,
And they'll make friends.
Yeah, that's
make
right.
Friends for life, you know, those friends.
And it helps you grow. It stops depression.
So important.
Stops all
and
those
things.
And
also, it's really good for independence. Like, they, you know, it might be the first time they've ever got to be able to be away from their parents, because a lot of our kids, they don't get to go to the sleepovers. They don't get to go on full camp. Because you know, it's not accessible, or they can't do that. Their friends' houses are not wheelchair friendly, so they can't go and have a sleepover at their friend's house like most kids do. So, you know, being able to go to the kids' camp is really good. We also have a camp called Adventure Camp, and that's for kids who are still walking and before they're not able to walk. And they can do some of those fun adventure kit, you know, things like the ropes and the, you know, the abseiling and all those things that probably are not going to be possible later on.
And you would probably get therapists along to those type of events as OTs.
We have OTs and all the support.
The cool OTs, you know, the cool ones.
The ones
that are like, hey, have you tried to do this? And, oh, I notice you're struggling a bit on that leg, you know. What about, have you heard about doing these exercises and just make it part of the norm?
Yeah, they learn new things and new skills and all sorts of stuff. Yeah, and a lot of the support workers that we have on the camps they're mostly OT students that do that as a placement.
So yeah.
It's all learning for them as well to look at, you know, what is in the disability field and how they can have an impact on other people's lives. So they're really great. And then we also actually have a third camp. We have what's called the Young Adults Retreat. So the camp is usually for kids up to 18, but then we realise, well, what do they do? Where do they go after they're 18? The young people need somewhere cool to go to and fun to hang out with the friends that they've made at camp. So we also in May will have our Young Adults Retreat. So that's for 18 to 25-year-olds. So they go, you know, they go out for dinner, they, you know, go for a bushwalk, accessible bushwalk, and, you know, go and do activities, talk about, you know, their goals for living independent or, you know, living independently and things like that. So, yeah, that's a really
amazing
good one as well. So, you know,
you guys are really into it, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. We love it because, you know, it's just really important to offer things for all different people at the different life stages that they're at.
There is so much information that's on the website, and I'll repeat it again, mdnsw.org.au. And as we said, we've got camps, we've got retreats, we've got peer connect programs, weekend retreats, adult weekends. You've got like a whole lot of stuff in there that is pretty much a kit bag for you. So even if you don't have muscular dystrophy and you want to find out exactly what it is and what type of stuff that they do at, you know, at MDNSW, and I mean, they will, everything's there for them. And I just want everyone to get behind the big red roll and stroll.
Oh, that'd be great,
I think, you
know, everyone can come to that. We can all have a big picnic in Parramatta Park and a barbecue and, you know, all the kids playing soccer and bocce and, yeah, lots of market stalls and all that.
And it's on the 23rd of June, and we'll keep reminding everyone each week, make sure that they definitely get their registration in there if they're able to do it. Or if not, you know, just send a little donation through. You know, these
guys do a lot of
hard work, Carolyn, you've opened up we just opened up one set of can of worms tonight, let me say, because there is so much behind it. And even just for you to share a little bit of your story about, you know, how you're a wonderful, successful woman, you know, that might be stuck in a wheelchair, but hey, those are your legs.
Oh, and absolutely. And I see my wheelchair as a tool for independence. Like, it's my mobility, you know, it's my freedom. So
you've got round legs. That's all we can say. Round legs.
That's one way to say it.
Yeah, round legs. Yeah, able to get from A to B.
And my batteries mean I don't get as tired as other people, so I can go very fast. When we go for a walk around Parramatta Park, I dare you to catch up with me.
Oh, I'll be jealous. I'll be the old lady. Oh, I'll need my walker.
We need a scooter for you, Sam.
I'm just going to steal someone's baby and pram. At least I've got something to hang on to.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're a hoot. Thank you so much for having us tonight.
To I'm looking forward. We'll get you back on closer to the date, of course, the roll and stroll, because I know that there is so many avenues, and maybe we can talk about some therapies and stuff too, which I know that, you know, a lot of mums and dads and people, you know, that already got it too. But we can have that conversation, and that's what this program's all about.
Absolutely.
To understand, learn, and definitely find out more about each other.
Excellent. Really good. Well done.
Thanks, Carolyn. I really appreciate you joining me tonight. You're a wonderful speaker, and I look forward to catching up with you again.
Thanks again. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Oh, well, that was the beautiful Caroline, of course, from all the way from MD and SW, of course. And she has, well, she's given you a good rundown. I'm looking forward to the roll and stroll. I just hope that it involves a sausage roll because, you know, I'm old. A World Hand Hygiene Day is on Sunday. Well, it was yesterday, the Sunday the 5th of May. Now, the Australian Commission of Safety and Quality in Healthcare, the Commission urges Australians to continue to practice good hand hygiene as the first line defence to reduce the spread of harmful germs. How many times do you go to a bathroom? Well, I don't know you ladies, but they're a lot better than the men. And the men just simply shake and walk. There is nothing more to it. And, you know, it takes nothing to give it a bit of a splash and some soap. Just wash the hands, keep everything clean, and also keep germs down. That's the really important thing. Practicing good hygiene remains as important as ever. And according to the infectious diseases physician, Professor Peter Colligan AM, Senior Medical Advisor for the Commission, some people may have become complacent with how often and how well they wash their hands by not using enough soap and water, doing it too quickly, or not washing at all. A World Hand Hygiene Day reminds us that we need to remain diligent about washing our hands properly. Hand washing should be a matter of alls because it's the single most effective way to prevent the spread of germs and disease, particularly to reduce infections caused by multi-drug-resistant bacteria such as the methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, known as MRSA or golden staph. I know golden staph is still rampant. It goes right through hospitals. I know for a fact my mum has had golden staph twice, being hospitalised and actually caught it in the hospital, simply because, you know, these bugs are totally resistant to anything that we have available. And, you know, it does remind them, I think personally, that a good old soap and water on the floors probably wouldn't do astray. But, you know, remember that also, that if you're visiting anyone that is susceptible, especially people with disabilities, make sure, you know, it's not just a tiny bit of hand sanitizer. Get in there, wash your hands, use hand sanitizer, and remember, don't cross-contaminate. You know, keep everything clean. You can do your free training for hand hygiene online. All you simply need to do is go to safetyandquality.gov.au, and it's important. There is a whole lot of stuff when it's important to lather up, other steps you can take to protect people, 5 tips from hand hygiene, and a background on the National Hygiene Initiative. Really important. So, hey, let's celebrate. Let's have a little bit of fun, and remember to wash. If you're not washing, baby, you're not washing.
Ablechat.com.au.
Yeah. So, another thing that also brought up a beautiful story from ABC. I love my ABC. I'm sorry, I don't know if you do, but I do. There is a Comedy Help Riley story who recovered after surgery of brain tumours. Now his dream is to be a clown doctor. Now, I actually have a good friend of mine who listens in on the show, is a clown doctor and does a lot of work, especially in the space, disability space in hospitals, and helps kids become happy again. I thought this was worth really playing, and I hope you get something out of it as much as I do.
They call themselves the Happy Place Entertainers, and at their shows, you'll get singing, dancing, comedy, and, of course, rock.
Yeah, I saw Kiss Live last year. Loud.
The performers have a range of disabilities but share a common purpose: to entertain.
I feel happy. Yeah. I love all people watching me.
The Happy Place Entertainers have been touring the Gold Coast performing at seniors' communities.
People love us a lot.
I still have that talent for singing, and like if I ever wanted to pursue it in a career, I can.
It's a program organised by support worker Alison Grabham.
Yeah, there's not a lot of opportunities in their lives where there is a group of people, a group of 50 people that are celebrating them.
But there are challenges.
Yeah, just the song choices. You know, I've had to say, look, no, we're not doing Numb by Linkin Park. It's not happening.
While the shows can leave some of them feeling a bit...
out of breath and good.
There is a deeper purpose.
We have to learn teamwork, we have to learn empathy and compassion.
Eleven years ago, Riley Blackwell was in hospital.
I had to have surgery on the brain to remove the fluid off my brain, and that there was one tumour pushing down on the pituitary gland on the optic nerve, and that's what was bad for me, so I'm still here at least, which is fantastic.
He found solace in stand-up comedy and now wants to give back.
I wanted to become a clown doctor when I was in hospital. Yes, I did. I was always wanting to go into the hospitals and say I've been through what they're going through and all that. It's fantastic. I love it.
You know, he just has such a kind heart, and he's got so much to give, and he really does see that laughter is the way to get through most things.
The shows have given Riley a clear goal: to help sick kids.
I would like to make them laugh a lot, yes, and happy, and tell them what I've been through and all that, and to inspire them to get out of hospital.
Among the audience are Peter and Dorothy Dawson.
I sang.
Clap my hand.
Their great niece performed with the Happy Place Entertainers in the past.
That allows her to feel wanted, responsible, have a special aura about them that says, I care. It's beautiful.
Others are still figuring out the future, but it is bright.
It just gives me a more broader mindset of other options and other things I can do.
It's like, oh my gosh, I'm gorgeous.
They've done 5 shows so far, with more on the cards, but still some lessons just won't stick.
There were 4 Posh Spices on stage today. And we did have some challenges leading up to, you know, it doesn't matter what Spice Girl you want to be.
Maybe next time. Dominic Hansdale, ABC News, Gold Coast.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it? You know, a little bit of laughter always gets you going, and thank you for that for ABC TV, of course, to ABC News to cover that about the Happy Place Entertainers. We've got the same all the way out in Penrith. We should get them on the phone at some stage again as well, because they do a lot of work out there in Penrith with all our young ones. For you tonight here at Able Chat. It's true, because, you know, I'm all into the arts, as you know, being an entertainer for over 30 years,
and also working in disability. And you know what? I love the fact that we're able to reach out to different services. Just actually on the long weekend, I sent some young ones, I suppose, little ones, out on a beautiful show in Darling Harbour, which was all about disabilities. And they also featured performers with disabilities in it as well. And that was part, of course, the Fringe Festival. And similar to that, well, I've got the next guest, Kate, and she's from an amazing organisation called the Q Theatre. Are you there, Kate?
Yes, I am there. Hello.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Oh, look, thank you for joining me tonight. I know that it's been a little bit, I've been trying to wrangle you in and find a time that works for both of us. And I'm very excited that Q Theatre exists. Now, for those people who have no idea what it is, give us a bit of a rundown.
Yeah, so Q Theatre has been operating for over 50 years, but now lives as part of the Joan Sutherland in Penrith. And yeah, we're a theatre company, so we also do drama classes, but have productions and have residencies and are really all about artists and living in Western Sydney.
How exciting. Now, Q Theatre is embracive, is that right? It embraces pretty much everyone?
Yeah, we want to embrace everyone and anyone who has a desire to see theatre or create theatre or just
be
waltz on in one day, we're happy to have. Yeah.
Just be arty, as I say.
Yeah.
Just be arty. Walk around with a beret and a book and pretend that you're a poet. That's all you need to do. It's very simple. Now, what are some of the productions that you've put on out at the theatre? Last couple of years, maybe, 50
One
years.
Of the, our last production was called The Village, which has been a work in progress for a while. It was partnered with The Village Cafe, and a playwright spoke with the cafe and the people of the community, and they developed this work. So it was about two neighbours. There's a young girl, Taylor, who lives with her grandmother, and then next door is a young boy and his grandmother. And the boy and his grandmother are Indian, and Taylor is a white girl, but they have formed this friendship of Taylor and the grandmother, and it's just about connection and community, and it's like this beautiful story, this whole hard, a feel-good story, which is what the community asked for. So it was really nice to be able to show that and invite them back into the theatre to see it.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. I was just reading this morning about on ABC News, I was reading a story about a country town that their local school, has to do it. Well, does a production each year. And, how that they were unable to be able to chase down and afford the big, city specials like Hamilton, let's face it. Not every musical or major piece of theatre is available to reproduce into small theatre companies. Number one, because of cost, and sometimes you have commissions and things like that. So what they do is their school creates their own musical every year based on what's happening around them.
Yeah, and which is even better than getting the big ones in sometimes.
I agree.
Like the real voices, yeah.
That's right, because I think the way they explained it was that when you put on a major piece of theatre, your expectancy is to be as good as the original or as good as the last one in town. And, of course, we're amateur theatre. We're small-time theatre, I suppose. We don't have the massive budget of the major productions in the city, but just for people to have their voice and have a say and show off their talent, because theatre can be singing, it can be dancing, it can be reading, it can be writing, it be crying, it can be all of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's your forte, Kate? What does your little forte?
So I'm a Q Theatre. My role is project officer. So it's kind of a broad term, project of pursuing all the projects, just doing little bits of admin. But the thing I like the best, I also teach the access classes, so classes for theatre for people with disability, which is on a Friday. And that's the best thing. Yeah.
So tell us more about that. I'm really interested. What's it all involve? What's it all about?
Yeah, so we have a few classes running. So in the morning, there's two classes that are usually 26 years plus, but they welcome anyone. Right. And then the afternoon is the younger ones. So they're like 18 to 26-year-olds.
Right, so the youth group, as we say.
Yeah, kind of the youth one. But that we can be a bit flexible and have some a bit older. Yeah, so that goes all year, like usually around school term. So we're starting back this Friday because school's gone back. And then it's an 8-week term, and which is exciting because at the end of this term is our end of year show. So we, like you were saying, we're going to work with the groups and we're going to create our own stories, a part of the show.
Right.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And that'll be at the Riverside? Not at the Riverside. You're up at Penrith, the other one, isn't
yes.
it? I shouldn't have said that. Just similar but different city, a little bit further down the river.
Yes. Yeah, that would be at Penrith in the Q Theatre.
That's right.
So it's a big night of all the, because we have like kids classes as well, so they'll get to show. There's a Agile Not Fragile is our over 50s dance group. They'll do a performance, and then yeah, access classes will do it.
Wow.
That's a really great night.
So
yeah.
A whole combination of groups basically all come together and create something amazing. And
yeah.
I mean, how wonderful is that? And I think that it's such a marvellous. Now, for a young, now we've got it, we have people listening from all across the country on this show. Obviously, you know, being in Western Sydney, we focus definitely on that target market where we are. But if we had a mum that was out at Penrith Way and they've got a child that is super theatrical, I don't even know what other word you could use for it.
Yeah.
What type of things would they expect in, like, the class next week, for instance?
Yeah, so we do lots of different games and exercises so they can, like, think creatively and out of the box. So, like, some acting things. We do a lot with music and movement designed to, like, stimulate their imagination and develop skills in personal and creative self-expression. Yeah, so it's all about, like, we'd always do at the start of the class, like, how your week was. So we kind of get the mood of everyone. It's also about socialization.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, because you want to create friends, don't you?
Yeah. Mm. And especially when you're creating theatre, you want to, like, have a team already, an ensemble. That's also caring and sharing about each other before we start. And we do a bit of stretching to get warmed up. And then, yeah, play some games. And also for the show, we're going to be doing a lot of brainstorming. So we might do some like improvisation so we can try out some different ideas and just kind of having fun and playing around sometimes with a lot of costumes or just songs or wherever the group wants to go.
Now, will the end of the year show have a theme attached to it this year or?
We don't have a theme. Sometimes we have had them in the past, but not this year.
Right.
We're just free to create. So it's like each group has about 10 minutes to do whatever they like. Yeah.
Oh, interesting, yeah. I can imagine that'd be a nightmare, to be honest, because you've got a whole lot of people on and off the stage and you're all trying to, you know, fit them into 10 minutes. That's that's quite a squeeze, isn't it? It's quite a squeeze.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. But I think it's wonderful if you've got I think the arts are such an amazing place for people with disabilities because it allows them to step outside the world, as I say. Once you step inside a class like this, you're stepping outside of what's happening at home. You're stepping out of, you know, what mum's doing and dad's doing or what's happening in your life, and you're able just to create and become whatever you want to be and do it in your own way. And what an amazing way to build yourself spiritually but also physically as well, because I'd imagine there is a fair bit of physical element in what you do as well.
Well, the class really caters for whoever the individuals are and like their strengths and interests and capabilities. So that's the great thing about this class of like, you don't have to be verbal, you don't have to be able to walk. Like, it's just whoever you are, you can come to our class and be where you're at, and we can find something that, like, will engage you and hopefully inspire you, and you can, dream up big ideas.
Let your hair down. That's it. Yeah. Give Kate hell, I say. I mean, no, don't do that. No, just come in and love. Now, what do people do? How do they sign up into a program?
Yeah, so you can enroll on our website or through our box office, which is open weekdays. They can come in. So there's an enrollment form, and then you pay for either like a term or a semester. And you can also ask box office to send like an invoice to like a fund manager for like if you have NDIS kind of funding. So that's also very helpful for a lot of our students.
Of course, yes. I mean, because if you have NDIS, then obviously there is a small fee. Is that right for these programs? How do they work?
Yeah, so there's a fee for the programs, and then we can get this invoice whoever you need to. You can use your fund.
That's right. So if you're self-funded, for those people that know that they're self-funded or NDIA funded, then obviously the guys here will generate an invoice for you to take back, or they will send one directly to NDIA for you to be able to bill. And if you're plan managed, they'll send them to your plan manager or whoever your nominated or guardian is. So they'll be able to bill. How long does a class go for? So each class goes for...
They're 2 hours.
2 hours. So they're quite... quite extent, aren't they?
Yeah. And we have, like, often a little break in between, but then we can also take other breaks when needed. And usually, like, the last part of the class, we do our, like, introductions, as I was saying, kind of warming up for a bit, and then do some work, our theatre work. And then the last part is everyone loves, like, music, and they like to do a solo. So we usually take this moment of everyone gets their chance to pick a song, and they can either sing or dance or just move around to this song.
Right, a little bit of stagey okey.
Rest but watch,
Stagey okey.
You get to see so many personalities through their song choices and their characterizations. It's great.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine you're going to get everything from a Whitney Houston number right down to, Kiss is in town. Well, just been in town, I'm sure you're going to get a fair bit of air guitar action over the next week. You know, I think there is nothing like it in the world. So there is a whole 2 hours. For people that are sensitive to light and sounds, how do you fit them in?
Yeah, so they can tell us whatever their needs are. So in our room, like, it's just normal, like, it's usually a music room, so it's just like normal fluorescent lighting and daylight.
Yeah, so nothing too harsh. Cool.
But yeah, if there's something for, like, when we're doing our interview show or like any shows when there's other lighting, we can, like, sort of when we practice. Do our tech, let people know and not have that kind of triggering lighting during our performance.
Imagine being a production full of all these people. Strobe is not one of your high style of lighting methods anyhow. So I'm sure that that's all just part of the deal, and I get it quite considerably. Yeah, look, I think it's absolutely wonderful. As we've said, there's like morning class, afternoon class. You've got pretty much most Fridays are all in there. And for more information, they can go to the website. Is it just Penrith City website?
So you can just type in Q Theatre.
Oh, Q Theatre, that's right.
It would be under Studio Q is the class
of course.
Of everything. And then, the access classes will be a part of that.
Cool. And then the box office will help you through. Kate, will you let us know, of course, close to the end of the year when, of course, your performance is on? We'd love to give it a bit of a plug, and perhaps I can get some of my guys all the way in, into a bus, and, we can hop in our hiatus and hop on out to Penrith to watch a show. It'd be lovely.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'll let you know.
Okay, beautiful.
Great.
Well, thanks so much for being part of the show. I really do appreciate it. And, of course, that was Kate from Q Theatre at Penrith Performing and Visual Arts. If you're out that way, I really suggest, get involved and, at least make the call.
Well, yeah, another week, another show. Well, I hope you've enjoyed it. Of course, you can always reach out to us. Just simply go to ablechat.com.au. Send us an email at info@ablechat.com.au, or you can always check out our Facebook at facebook.com/ablechatradio. Until, well, our next show, it will going to be have a lot on our shows over the next few weeks, including some amazing talks with some specialists right around the country. And of course, if you're liking the show, well, give us good feedback. We love to hear your reviews and also your questions that we can research and find out more. All right, well, that's it for me this week, and I will see you again. Catch you on Ableton Podcast. This is Andy B. Bye for now.